If you have your Bibles, we want to invite you to take them, turn with us. It might be on your smartphone or your tablet, or if you're watching at home, just grab the scriptures and open to the New Testament. We're in 2 Corinthians. We've been traveling together through this second letter as we've reviewed. Some scholars believe it might be a combination of two or three or four letters, but it is the second letter of Corinthians that we have today. And we are in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And so we encourage you to turn there. You know, if you've ever thought about the title this morning, Not Losing Heart, what does that mean? I don't want my physical heart, yes, we want to take care of us physically. But this deals with really our emotions, our spirit, what we can accomplish, what we do, and if we've professed in Christ, if we put our life in His hands and we've asked Jesus to be our Savior and Lord, to come into our life, we follow Jesus and we go to His Word to find strength in His Word. But if we're honest with the Lord, and we pray this prayer, search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way in me. If we're honest before the Lord, are there times in your life, times in your walk, that you get discouraged, that you feel like, man, I want to just give up. I want to throw in the towel. I don't want to do this anymore. We turn on the news today, as we've even heard about the wonderful ministry the Gideons are doing in Ukraine, and the Christian Missionary Alliance is doing a wonderful ministry in Ukraine through Comma Services. Over $450,000 have been raised for the relief through the CNMA, Comma Services, and that report was given just last St. Patrick's Day to help the refugees find homes and find places to live. But even if we turn on the news today, we have such turmoil, such troubles, that we may find our spirits getting discouraged. When you think about the apostles, and especially Paul, if anyone had a chance to lose heart, an opportunity to give up, to walk away, to throw in the towel, to say, I'm not going to do this anymore, it was him. But he didn't. He didn't. George Barna stated some stats that was written in an article in November of 2021 in Christianity Today, that 2 out of 5 pastors consider leaving the ministry. Now, we know there's an employment shortage. We go everywhere and you say, hey, jobs, jobs, jobs. Everybody's staying home because of the pandemic. But because of that, pastors have 2 out of 5 have given up on the ministry. They've walked away from it. Even the stat goes on that 51% of the mainline denominations, 51% of the pastors have left the ministry because of the pandemic. Why? Because they are discouraged. Why? Because they feel defeated. Why? Because they have lost heart. So the question comes, if they have lost heart, being the servants of God, what about the person who follows Jesus every day? What about you? Have you found yourself like saying, Lord, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if I have the strength to carry on. I don't know, Lord, if I can even be a light in my family because of what others are saying to me or how others are treating me or what is going on. And I'm discouraged. I'm about ready on the tightrope to just give up. God doesn't want you there. He may have allowed you to be in that place at this point, but He doesn't want you to be defeated, discouraged, disappointed, disillusioned. He wants you to have victory. Victory. Everyone has moments of feeling discouraged. To become discouraged means that an emotional distress has taken over your personality and you can't rise above it. You lose heart for what's important to you. You're debilitated by your lack of achievement, what other people think about you or your lost opportunities. This was written by Bill Gaultier of Shepherding Soul Ministries. But as we look into the Word, and let's do that now in chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, let's discover together what the Apostle Paul discovered. Why he could say that in verse 1. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We do not faint not. We don't give up. How did he do that? What was his secret? Let's read the scripture together. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Let's just ask the Lord to bless his word today. Father, we come in your presence. We praise you, O God. Our hearts are filled, yes, Lord, with gratitude in the sense of how the word is being proclaimed around the world through the Gideon ministry, and we thank you for them. We pray your blessing upon them. And Lord, we thank you too for how you are working your way for your glory through your people to minister to the country of Ukraine and to the refugees, the surrounding nations, the churches and the pastors, our brothers and sisters, Lord, that are standing for righteousness' sake. Lord, I pray you'll bless them and strengthen them and meet their every need, that you'll protect the body of Christ. Lord, we pray that you'll minister to those who are in Russia who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Lord, that you will protect them and that you'll provide for them. And Lord, that we know that true peace, it only comes from Christ. And so, Lord, we know that in the world, as you've said, Jesus, that in this world there is tribulation and troubles, but be encouraged, you've overcome the world. So we stand with you, Lord, today. We stand with you in your presence for victory, for peace. And we ask that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as we look into your word now, we pray that you'll capture our hearts and our thoughts and our attentions, that we may discover the secret. No matter what we go through, no matter what tribulation we face, that we can count it, yes, all joy, but we also can stand with the apostle and say, we do not lose heart. So Lord, help us keep our eyes fixed on you, to gaze in the beauty of who you are and discover that in you we have hope. In you we have strength. In you we have all we need. So we ask you'll speak to us now by your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Apostle Paul here writes this letter. Of course, as you know, he is going forth, and in chapter 4, he says, we've been given this ministry, this wonderful ministry of God. You, Corinthians, are my written living letter. I don't need to produce any documents of authority to you as an apostle because you're my testimony. And then he goes on, he says, God's given us this ministry because God's poured out his mercy upon us. Therefore, we do not lose heart. You remember, Paul was that one that was the earlier called Saul in the book of Acts, and he went around persecuting Christians. He would arrest, if you were a follower of Jesus, he'd come and arrest you and watch you get beaten a little bit. And God got a hold of him and changed him. The light of Christ changed him. And then he became that apostle for the Gentiles and started sharing the good news. King David in the Old Testament. Turn over to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And just briefly notice a couple of verses there. David and his mighty men, as they were traveling, they got raided, the Amalekites. And as he was in Ziklag, and they came and they captured all of David's possessions. They captured all of David's men's wives and his wives and led them away. And we notice in verse 3, he says, when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men, what happened? They wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. Can you imagine that? Losing everything because an opposing force came in and took everything. Maybe that's how the Ukrainians feel. And they had no strength left. And they began to weep. And David was greatly distressed. In verse 6, notice that because the men were talking of stoning him. Stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. So here David, the leader of his mighty men, finds himself in a position where everything he has is gone. Everything of his men is gone. Their families are gone. And his men are rising up now to destroy David. David could have said, I am discouraged. I am weary. I am worn out, which I believe he was. But notice the next little phrase there in verse 6. But David found strength in the Lord, in his God. David found strength in the Lord, his God. How did David find strength in the Lord, his God? How did the Apostle Paul find strength in the Lord his God so he could claim, we do not lose heart. We do not give up. In other words, another translation says, therefore we do not become discouraged, utterly spiritless, exhausted, wearied out through fear. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. The CEV version says, we never give up. Our bodies are gradually dying, but we ourselves are being made stronger each day. Wow. J.B. Phillips says this word. Listen to what he says. We wish you could see how all this is working out for your benefit and how the more grace God gives, the more thanksgiving we will rebound to his glory. This is the reason why we never collapse. The outward man does indeed suffer wear and tear, but every day the inward man receives fresh strength. These little troubles, which are really so transitory, are winning for us a permanent, glorious, and solid reward out of all proportion to our pain. For we are looking all the time, not at the visible things, but at the invisible. The visible things are transitory. It is in the invisible things that are really permanent. Eugene Peterson in The Message says, so we're not giving up. We're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "They who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Very briefly, I'd like to share five things that I observe from the Apostle Paul here in this passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 4 on how he did not lose heart. The first is Paul was able not to lose heart because he possessed this treasure in jars of clay, a treasure in jars of clay. He recognized that his body was feeble and worn out and weary, but he had a treasure in jars of clay. Eugene Peterson says, "We carry this precious message around in the unordained clay pots of our ordinary lives." Other translations says it's the treasure of good news. It's good news about salvation. It's the divine light of the gospel. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. God, in his wonderful mercy and love, transforms our lives, rescues us from the kingdom of darkness, brings us into the kingdom of light, and he changes us. And he makes us totally new so that he gives you and I the ability to shine for him, to love those we can't love, to endure those we can't stand, to give when we would rather not give. It's because we have this treasure in our hearts to show that this all-surpassing power does not come from us, but it comes from the Holy Spirit within us. Christ. Paul said in verse 5 through 7, "For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servant, for Jesus' sake, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It is an amazing miracle when someone looks at your life and they say, "I see Jesus in you." That's something just like Jesus would say. That's something just like Jesus would do. Man, you're just like Jesus. Paul had that relationship with God, with Christ. He was a changed individual. He had that treasure in jar of clay. That's why he did not give up. Some of us might say, "Well, Pastor, yeah, that's true. But I also had a relationship with Jesus, and I find it's hard." It's hard. It is hard to live this life. It is hard. And, it is hard. So how do we find that secret? Well, we find that, secondly, Paul was able not to lose heart because of the sufferings he had experienced for Christ. Say what? The sufferings he had experienced for Christ. I don't want to hear this. The sufferings. You notice what he says in verses 8 through 12. He says, "We are afflicted in every way." Verse 9, he says, "We're perplexed and we're persecuted. We are struck down. We're carrying in the body of my body, the death of Jesus." He says, "For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake." And if it ended there, we would say, yeah, okay, he has some valid points. But notice the rest of what he says. He says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that The life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies, for we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Paul was looking at his life and he says, I'm going through sufferings for Christ's sake. And you can recall the stories in Acts, even that one time where he went in, shared the good news. They drug him outside the city and stoned him to death. They left him there dead. God empowered him, raised him back up. He walked back in and gave a witness. Man, that is something. And because of his sufferings, and we can say, well, you know, Pastor, the Apostle Paul, he persecuted all those Christians early on, so Jesus really had to teach him a lesson. God came along and said, now I'm going to show you how to suffer, buddy. Paul says, I want to know Christ. In Philippians, he said, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. And oh, I hope that's the desire of your heart. To know the power of his resurrection, new life, resurrected power. Paul even alludes to that here in this chapter, because Christ has risen, we who are in him will rise. What a truth, what a hope to place our confidence in, so that no matter what comes our way, we can trust in him. But he also says, I want to share in the fellowship of his sufferings. Jesus in the garden prayed, Lord, let this cup be passed from me. But not your will, not my will, but your will be done. He endured the cross, despising the shame. God raised him up, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And so the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 12, he says, so consider him. Consider who? Consider Christ. So you don't grow weary and lose heart, that you faint not, that you give up. It's that relationship. Paul was able not to lose heart because he was suffering for Jesus' sake. I don't know about you, and it was wonderful to hear that testimony this morning about how God transformed that gentleman. Now he became a minister because he found his source is in Christ alone through the Word. Paul and Silas was arrested in Philippi. They were in prison chains. They had been beaten. What would come out of your lips? What came out of his? Songs of praises and hymns. We see, thirdly, Paul was able not to lose heart, not to give up, because of the motivating message of the gospel. The motivating message of the gospel proclaiming Christ. Verse 15 says, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Have you ever witnessed someone coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Have you experienced that? Have you shared Christ and they received Christ? How did you feel when that took place? Man, I tell you, it's just wonderful. It's exciting. It is glorious. My heart is filled with joy. As a pastor, I enjoy sharing the gospel. And when people come to Christ, it's like, let's raise a hallelujah. We don't need to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. And so therefore we need to proclaim it more. Paul says here, I am able not to lose heart because the gospel is being proclaimed and more people are accepting and receiving Jesus Christ, and therefore it encourages me to do it again and again and again. And we know through the word, Matthew chapter 28, that we are commanded to proclaim because of the great commandment. We know that in 2 Corinthians 5:14, we are to proclaim because God's love compels us to proclaim. And Jesus himself gives us an example to proclaim. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And it says there in Acts 4, 12, 13, it says, when the people saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Wow. Paul said, because of this message of the gospel that we've been given, this mystery has now been revealed. I'm going to proclaim it. Therefore, I do not lose heart, because Christ is rescuing the perishing. Are you afraid to share Jesus Christ? Are you afraid to tell someone about what he's done in your life? Don't be. God will give you courage. Take that first step. Be bold and brave. Fourth, I see that Paul was able not to lose heart because of the sustaining power of the Holy Spirit within. Verse 16, he says, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Acts 4:31 says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Ephesians 3:16-17, Paul writes, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. The sustaining power of the Holy Spirit renews, it energizes, it revives. It gives life, gives hope. So Paul says, because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm walking in the Spirit, I have this intimacy with my God, I will not lose heart. And then fifthly, we see that Paul was able not to lose heart because he fixed his eyes on the eternal. Verse 17, 18 says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. As I already mentioned, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3, it says, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus has been tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. Consider him when we're going through that valley of the shadow of death. And we want to sing, you know, that crazy song from Hee Haw, Room, Despair, Agony on Me. Whoa! Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. Whoa! Don't do it. Look to Jesus and sing his songs. Sing his songs. Sing his songs. God permits trials and sufferings to occur in our life so that people might grow in holiness and become more like Christ. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Consider him. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what personal battles you are dealing with. I don't know what demons you are fighting. I don't know what sicknesses you may be enduring. But I know God knows. He knows. He understands. And he wants you to come to him even in your lowest moments. Come to him, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you, and he wants you to fix your eyes on him and say, Lord, I don't compare myself to the Apostle Paul. I feel like I've been crushed, but help me not give up. I feel like I've been persecuted, but help me not give up. I feel I've been misunderstood. Help me not give up. I feel I've been criticized. Help me not give up. I feel weary and worn out. Oh Lord, help me not give up. What is the Lord Jesus saying to you this morning? Are you discouraged? Do you feel like giving up, losing heart? Why? Have you lost sight of the eternal? This is just temporary stuff. As Eugene Peterson says, this is small potatoes. Small potatoes. Wait till the glory that is revealed. Are you running to the Lord to allow him to renew your strength? Or are you resisting? Have you lost your way? Are you willing to suffer for Christ like the Apostle Paul? Are you allowing fear to defeat you from proclaiming the gospel? Is God's love moving you closer and closer to him? Or are you allowing other things? Maybe people, maybe situations, maybe your perspective, maybe the news, maybe your phone to get in the way. Sevilla Durfee Martin, wonderful lady. We close with this. She penned one of the most loved gospel songs that has been recorded over and over and over again by many people. She was born in 1866 and graduated to glory in 1948, but her story about this one song that she wrote in 1905. They were visiting some friends in Elmira, New York, of all places, and they had a deep friendship for a couple, and this is true, the couple's name was Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle. You know who I think about when I hear that name, Doolittle. I want to talk to the animals. That's not the song. But Mr. and Mrs. Doolittle were true saints of the Lord. Mrs. Doolittle had been bedridden for nearly 20 years. Her husband was an incurable cripple who had to propel himself to and from his business in a wheelchair. And despite their afflictions, they lived happy Christian lives, bringing inspiration and comfort to all who knew them. And one day, while we were visiting with the Doolittles, my husband commented on their bright hopefulness and asked them for the secret of it. And Mrs. Doolittle's response was simple. She said, "His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." The beauty of that simple expression gripped their hearts, fired up the imagination, and the hymn, "His eye is on the sparrow," was written. Listen to the words. "Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion. My constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubt and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see, his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to him. From care he sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me." Some of us are allowing the difficulties that we face to push us away from the one who loves us most. And he wants you to draw closer to him. Will you take that step? Will you take that step? Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts. And Lord, we are just earthen vessels, crackpots, pieces of clay, dust to dust. But Lord, in your marvelous mercy, you have given us your Son, Jesus, that we may know you, that we may love you, that we may be changed, set free from our sin, and be filled with the Spirit and walk in communion with you. And you call us your children, your own. And we know that you care about the sparrow, but oh, how you care about each one of us, each human being, each man and woman and child, because we were created in your likeness and your image to know you. Father, I pray that you will not allow us to allow the difficulties of this world, the troubles that we face, to push us away from you, to grow in us this attitude of bitterness or complaint or weariness so that we desert and leave you. But Lord, that you will draw us to yourself in those moments, that we'll draw close to you. When tempted, we'll draw close to you. When weary, we will draw close to you and you'll give us rest. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that needs that touch from you, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, for your glory and your namesake, that you will do that amazing work of grace. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.